The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, December the 3rd. Good morning, everybody. 7:06 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Carl. I'm so glad it's Thursday.
You're always glad it's Thursday.
I know, but it's been 2 weeks because last Thursday was like Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it seems like I haven't been here forever.
Well, you're here now, and we've already got people in the chat room. I haven't even had a chance to even read it yet, what's going on. But Jared's here with us today. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Now, when you think, listen to Jared's voice, and you have to think what he looks like. And he doesn't look probably anything like you think he looks like.
Voices, you
voices
do that.
Because, how many times have I had people come up to me and go, oh, you're Carl Bott, I listen to you. And then they go, you don't look like I thought you were going to look, and they'll never tell me what they thought I was going to look like, so I'm not sure. So I'm not sure if I should lose weight, gain weight, get younger, get my hair done.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Anyway, Jared's a good-looking guy with the beard and hair, long hair. He's got that Christmas look about him. Yeah, I liked it. So.
Okay. It's 48 degrees in downtown Redding. We're looking for heavy rain today. It's not raining as we speak, but it's supposed to happen mainly around 11 a.m. High near 52 today, and a low this evening of about 42. Friday, a 50% chance of rain. Friday night, it should rain. Saturday, partly Sunday. And Sunday, rain likely. So we're going to get a little bit of weather here, and we certainly need the rain.
It should be like hammering us today.
Should be hammering us. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Great people down there, Chuck and Jenny.
Yes,
Kenny?
They
okay.
Are.
We've got guests starting in about 8 minutes and going all the way through. I don't usually do that, but it's election season coming up and, all that.
And it's just and December had, and it's just crowded.
It's crowded. I want to talk about what happened in Los Angeles.
Well,
I'm sorry, San Bernardino. San Bernardino yesterday.
My old stomping grounds.
At first reports coming out that it was developmentally disabled people that they were shooting, but that's not what happened.
No.
That was the office building. And then they took there was a county health organization that rented it for a banquet, for like a Christmas banquet.
Mm-hmm.
When these two came in and started shooting. Turns out that the two, Saeed Farouk, was an employee of that organization.
Of the organization
of
that rented the
county
facility.
The county health, about 200 people, county health organization had rented this place. He was there earlier sitting at a table with people.
Oh, my
God. And the witness says that was sitting there with me, said, no, he didn't seem like there was anything wrong. He just kind of got up and left his coat there. And the next thing they know, two people came in with military type weapons and with flak jackets and masks, the good terrorist look, and start shooting. Kill 14 people, wound 17. Turned around, walked out slowly, got into their SUV, and drove away. Well, they've identified the two. As I said, the first one, Saeed Farouk, and his wife or significant other fiance, Tashfeen Malik. He's 28 and she's 27. Now, they left their six-month-old baby with daughter with family members. And when they left, said they had a medical appointment. They go there. They do this. The only thing is, he said Farouk had gone to Saudi Arabia earlier this year came back with a wife, and then grew a beard. The FBI can't rule out terrorism. I mean, things may have changed, you know, since I've been reading this. How can they possibly rule out terrorism? Well, they said they haven't ruled out terrorism.
Oh, okay.
You know, but then you got workplace violence, but it doesn't meet any of those. It's not that lone wolf shooter that just comes in and starts shooting like everything else. You know, they start shooting, and then they end up killing themselves or being killed by police,
right,
or in rare instances give themselves up. In this case, after they shot these people, they went out, they had an escape plan, got in the SUV, left. Now, somewhere in there, there was a tip. And there were police at their house when they drove up in a town adjacent to San Bernardino, quiet town. And then the chase started. It wasn't a fast chase, maybe 30, 40 miles an hour. Cops got in there, and the gunfight started. And they were both killed, Farouk and his wife, her fiance.
So how to find out what the motivation. The whole thing behind it is going to be very difficult with both of them dead. But it was a man and a woman.
Yeah, it was a man and a woman.
American?
27.
I mean,
he was born in America.
And she's from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it sounds like she came from Saudi Arabia, according to this one witness.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder what's going on here. If this was this workplace violence, which, I mean, it's still shooting, people being shot. But
workplace violence generally is one person who has a thing. To convince his wife to be mad enough about something that happened at the workplace.
And to leave a child, knowing that we're going to go in there and we're going to shoot this place up. We're going to kill as many people as we possibly can. They had the types of weapons. They had pistols with them, too. They had, it looked like military vest on, you know, maybe, you know, bulletproof. They're not sure about that, but a military type with their magazines attached. Probably it was some kind of magazine carrier that they put in front of them, you know, that you can just, you know, can pull out and reload easier. And just came in and started shooting. Killed. I mean, and they shot for like 30 seconds. They were in there shooting, stopped, reloaded, shot some more, and walked out. It was all less than 5 minutes. And walked out slowly. Got in the car, drove away slowly. Nope. No panic. Nothing.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see what, I mean, if there's any way at all for people to try and figure this one out. Now, I don't know. If somebody else has heard something differently this morning, please give us a call at 605-4567 than what I just said. Because, you know, yesterday, of course, they were chasing with helicopters, and they found a car that didn't really belong to them. Yeah, they had another guy they thought, you know, all the reports coming out, of course, all the news agencies.
Two to three males.
One captured, one killed here, one killed there, three shooters. But the police are pretty confident. It's just the two shooters, and they've got those two. And the third person that was arrested that was running away from the scene, they're not releasing any information about him. They have gone through the houses, and they've been researching everything, trying to find out something. Because when you got both shooters dead, it's kind of hard to question.
Yeah, that's,
but on the other hand, they're armed with military-type weapons. Type weapons. I'm not saying they were, obviously, unless they stole them, because you're not going to get military weapons on the open market. Anyway,
that was, you know,
and then so of course right after that you get Obama calling for more restrictions.
Well, no, Hillary Clinton was the first one.
Well, I know.
And she was the first one that jumped on the ball and tightened their gun laws.
Yeah, and the New York Times came out, you know, talking. It was just a slanderous attack against the NRA. And and anybody that owns a gun, it's a mass suicide fixation that, you know, America has and all this about guns. And they're trotting out statistics that have been disproven years ago, but they're still bringing them out.
Yeah.
And all this. So I don't, you know, it turns out, by the way, and one little part down and one little line is that these weapons have been bought legally. So there you are.
There you go.
So they're saying is, well, you know what, the only way you can do that is to keep people from getting those weapons then is to make sure nobody gets them. So this is the fifth mass shooting. And I think the most mass shootings were in 2010. And this one, so 2015 hadn't even gotten close to 2010. I think this is the third or fourth one this year in 2015. And I think the most that there was like eight in 1 year. So 8 in 1 year. Most of them were a lot less. And a mass shooting is, I think, anything over 2. So
tragic.
It is tragic.
Absolutely tragic to figure out. I was very pleased to find out that, in fact, it wasn't open fire on the developed land.
Oh, yeah.
When I first heard that, you just had to go.
Why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Exactly.
Well, they didn't do that. It was, in fact, they were targeting this group of people.
County,
see, that's
county.
The other thing. Yeah, county employees.
It'll be interesting to find out exactly what group those people were, what county.
Well,
county employees go from mental health workers to public works people.
Well,
I
think he was a housing inspector or something like that. So anyway, okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl Bott and Trish Clark, we have a lot of people here waiting to come on, and people running for office and people that are, Mac McCraw here is going to be coming right in telling us about what's going on with veterans here in Shasta County. Okay, we're taking a quick break. It's 7:18 in the morning. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, 48 degrees out there. Going up to 52, but we're going to be getting a lot of rain. Start rolling in here around 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers and corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are, always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with 3 locations to serve you, Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl, family helping family.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Carl, it's holiday time, and I feel like a special holiday mocha. Take me to Espresso Joe's Inside Tobacco and Brew right now.
Yeah, and while we're there, let's walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the North State and find some great cigars for your dad, your brother, and me. Some of the highest-rated cigars by Cigar Aficionado.
That's right, and we can browse and buy special coffee beans, tea accessories, and let's look through the wonderful wine selection. That's 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hop in the truck, hon. Let's go. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is the 3rd of December. It's Thursday.
Get out your boots. It's going to rain.
That's right. Tonight, get on the phone, call out the elements. We're going to talk a little bit about more of it. Linda's going to be rocking tonight.
Oh, yeah. Christmas show.
Rocking tonight.
Yeah.
The Christmas show. Yeah, over at Elements Lounge. Make reservations because people, bringing in nines and tens worth of people here. You know,
oh, yeah, because she's established a rapport there with the group, and now this is going to be a really great show.
You're going to be hearing some great music, yeah. 7:21 in the morning, 48 degrees, going up 52 today. We should be getting some rain. It should start around 10 o'clock, really start getting heavy around noontime. Just for you, Trish. but you know what? They have you can just drive up, drop off there at Wind River, and you're fine.
Yeah.
This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. In the business for 70 years, treating people well, and ranked in the top 100 hospitals in the nation for 3 years in a row, and the top cardiac hospital in the nation. This year, top 50 cardiac hospitals in the nation, right here at Shasta Regional Medical Center, treating people well. Okay, just some other things that came rolling through was that they found lots of bomb making materials there. They've been getting a lot of packages at these people's house. They were working late into their garage, and their neighbors noticed things, but they didn't say anything because they didn't want to think that they were like. People to think they were racist. I can understand that. You know. So what do? Report it to police, and the police say, they're just doing it because we're Muslim. I mean, I can understand that, even though there might be a fear of that. Let's go to the phones, Jimmy.
Hey, Carl.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Hey, I'm out of town right now. I'm down south, and about 2 hours after this shooting happened. I was listening to one of the stations down here, and Obama came on and immediately said that there is a loophole for people that are on the no-fly list to buy guns, and we have to change that law. And it just struck me odd that he didn't know any of the facts yet. He didn't know who these people were, and he automatically assumed that they were terrorists on a no-fly list, and I just thought that was
interesting.
I heard that announcement as well.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? But it appears like this guy was born in the United States. You know, even if he was of Muslim, I don't even know if we know if they're even Muslim, except for the names.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
and this
I'm sure.
Just, I mean, it just struck me. It was kind of tacky that. He just instantly jumped on his anti-gun rhetoric.
Well, it's going to happen. So did Hillary. The thing is that just get used to it. It's going to, and they're going to have more and more in the media about it. But, you know, unfortunately, the fact is that the vast majority of people in guns, those guns sitting in their safes, they're locked up. They don't hurt anybody. You know, people that are crazy. Or they have a mission, or they have some kind of political agenda, are the ones that hurt people.
And you're not going to pass enough laws ever take the guns away from people who will have guns. Only honest people will be impacted by the law.
Yeah, ask people in other countries. Okay, Jim.
All right, thank you.
Be careful out there. All right, bye.
I will.
Okay, we're here with Matt McCraw, who is the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. Hey, buddy.
Good morning, Matt. Carl. Good morning.
You always look so nice, all dressed up. You know, got a tie on all the time.
The work week. It's a pleasure to be here every month, as always. I appreciate you always inviting me as well.
Well, you know, every month we need to have an update of what's going on, especially during this time frame. They're doing this study on the homeless, you know, this big count they're going to do in January. Last time they counted, they came up with something like 84 veterans.
87.
87 veterans that were homeless. Now, other people will say, oh, no, that number is triple that. And then you'll have others that say, no, that's probably about right. I don't know how anybody really knows unless you can go out there and counting homeless and transients and all this it must be tough because probably some of them don't want to. And how do you tell if they're a veteran too?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing: is are you a veteran? Yes, I'm a veteran. We found that out at the stand down. You know,
right.
These guys come out there and say they're veterans. Well, you can't. There's nothing that shows they're veterans. There's no proof. There's even they can't find them anywhere.
Right.
You know, in any databases. So, oh no, well, I'm a veteran. Well, I mean,
and also there.
But even if there's one, that's too many.
Yeah. Also, the a lot of people are not really familiar with this, but you have to have 24 months continuous active service to be eligible for VA benefits.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And not all veterans have 24 active, you know.
You can't get it just
months.
Because, unless you're injured, right?
Right.
I mean, if
well,
you were injured
here's
camp
how it works.
And medically retired.
For the VA clinic, you have to, if you have a compensation, whatever that specific compensation is that you're receiving benefits for, you can go to the VA clinic and receive benefits. But also, if you're just in general want to see the doctor for other things outside of what your actual compensation is, you actually have to have 24 months of active duty service continuous before they'll actually give you a VA medical card. Now, you can apply for it and everything, and I hate to speak off term off the, you know, I'm not the VA clinic, but I actually do know this knowledge firsthand. I'm on the phone a lot with the VA clinic, and they have told me this. So a lot of people don't realize that they think they can just get benefits if they see a compensation. Because you can get compensation with just one day of active military service.
Mm-hmm.
If you're injured, even in basic training, if you're injured,
that's true.
You're technically eligible. So there's sort of a difference between what the VA clinic sees as eligibility and then what, the compensation rules of being eligible for compensation. It's a little bit different, actually much different, not just a little bit.
Yeah. But still, going back to the homeless side of it, they're just supposed to be doing this big count in January, I think. And it's through volunteers and, I guess, paid people go out and try to identify who they are.
Right.
And then again, the term homeless, we have to understand what that means. That could be somebody that doesn't have an address all the time, but maybe living with their parents, or couch surfing with their buddies.
Right.
Those kind of things. These aren't people living in cars all the time.
Right.
Or on the street.
Yeah. I mean, they can be in hotels, too.
Right.
But they don't have a home, but they're living month to month in a motel. I mean, those count as homeless, too. I mean, so you've got... I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they break all of that out. I would love for them to do that. One, are you a veteran? Can you prove you're a veteran?
Right. You know, it's funny you mention that. Just yesterday I released a website out. You might have gotten it, Carl, many of the other veteran advocates across Shasta. The website is called Vet Data Source, and I emailed it out to all the advocates and key players in the community to let them have access to this database. This database shows all the homeless rates, right? And it shows all the demographics. You can go into housing, you can go into education and everything, all about veterans. And I think the database is in cooperation with J.P. Morgan and many other conglomerates. It's a really great database. But it's so funny, when you go into Shasta County, right, and you try to go homeless, it reverts you back to state level. So it's telling me the database doesn't have numbers for the Shasta County or any other county for that matter. Actual numbers of homelessness. So you can see where that's lacking. And there's statewide numbers, but the county level, it starts breaking apart. Now, they've got other things like how many disabled are in Shasta County and everything.
I did get that one. And it's like 17,800 veterans. And there's how many of them are receiving benefits from combat? From combat
right,
related,
there's like 5,000, I believe, or something.
There's 5,000 overall, and there's like 3,000 from combat injuries.
Exactly.
And how do those match up with the figures that you see down there of the people that you see?
For like stand down? Or like comparing that number, seeing how many veterans or
anything else, because you deal with them on a
regular.
Right. Yeah. Oh, for my department specifically, yes. We're pretty busy. We get an average.
Yeah, I know a lot of them come through there. If they're receiving benefits and seeking benefits,
we do. We get an average. Our department averages about 700 clients a month. So, and that's about 40 clients a day. So it's very high.
Yeah.
The number is very high.
How many of them would you say are coming in there for benefits? All of them, right?
Most like 97% of them, yes, sir.
Okay.
But some of those are repeats. But also, you spoke of homelessness. Real quick, I'll just say that our database called VetPro that we use, who we create profiles on everyone that visits us, we do have a ticker in there that will click when we identify that they're homeless. But those numbers are not very high because we only account for people who come in our department. Not all people come in. Not all homeless veterans come in our department. So our numbers really are just skewed, and it's not accurate. So door-to-door might be the best.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Your more information flowing in. I cannot verify all of this because of the fact that I don't know who all the people are. But the one person, I mean, I know the people, but I don't know where they get the information from. They said they were wearing GoPro body cameras. GoPro body cameras. So there's likely to be something on there. And somebody asked, "Gosh, I wonder if they had left the country." Well, yes, he did. He left the country and came back with a wife. And the county employees who undergo monthly drills, training drills, prepare them for an active shooter. So there's one thing about active shooter, when then you're in a banquet hall, packed to the gills there, and you have an active shooter. But a lot of people ran and hid, so a lot of people were not killed. But they were only in there long enough to shoot 30 people and then walked out.
So, they escaped, correct?
And they escaped. Yep. Well, no, they haven't escaped. They caught them later on.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But, I mean, they were killed. Initially, they just walked out, got in their SUV, and just drove away calmly.
That's amazing.
And they were caught.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, this portion of the show, and maybe apropos for this, but it's brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction is teaching in 7 counties up here in Northern California. Ted Leidy's company. He only hires professional NRA instructors for the most complete CCW training in Northern California. And they will provide a free pistol and ammo for those people who are taking a basic CCW course, ammo for that pistol that they're providing. If you don't have a pistol and you're not sure if the pistol you have is maybe not the one you want to carry all the time, then they're going to help you find that pistol. They'll help make sure it fits you and that you understand all the working features of it. And then probably take you out and let you shoot it a few times and watch it. All of this at Northern Firearms Instruction. Give them a call at 999-1822 or check them out at readingccw.com. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, we're with Mac McCross, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, December 3rd at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us as we celebrate the holidays with our favorite jazz standards and Christmas songs, starring Pat Karch on keyboards, Bobby Viramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, and my very special guest, Lou White on sax and flute. That's Romance on the River from 7 to 9 p.m. Dine, dance, enjoy friends, music, and more. December 3rd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Just take those old records on the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, December the 3rd. It's 25 minutes until 8 o'clock. Good morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by The Temptations. That's right. The Temptations are in town Sunday, December the 6th at the Civic Auditorium. What can you say except that they've been in it for 50 years. You go, oh, 50 years, that's still... No. They're playing to bigger audiences now than they ever have. You can't imagine how good this music is. I mean, people of all ages, I mean, I don't care what the music is. If it's good, it's good. I don't care from when it was. But you can get tickets from the Reading box office. The tickets range from $60 down to $40. Now, let me tell you something. We had friends that said, hey, look, I tried to buy some tickets, and they wanted $300 for it. There are scalpers out there online that when you try and buy these tickets, because it pops in before the Civic, they want to charge you $100, $80. Don't do that. Go to the Civic Auditorium. Go to their website, and you can get them. The premium tickets for $60. They're going to be singing things like The Way You Do, The Things You Do, Since I Lost My Baby, My Girl, Get Ready. I mean, The Temptations. Give them a call over there at the Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets over there. Give them a call, 229-0022. It's going to be a great show. All right. Yeah. We're here with Mac McCraw, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, and, of course, the only Trish Clark. And we've got a phone call. Vint, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up?
How are we doing? Lots to talk about today. Hey, I got a question from Mac. I need some clarification.
Good morning.
An email from you, Mac, that had to do with a couple charities that you had checked out.
Yep.
And they were not up to par.
Right.
Fantastic for that. Thanks for doing that. I wanted to talk to you at the BFW meeting, but you had to get out of there like somebody else I know.
Right.
You guys chose beautiful women over me, which I kind of understand. But at the end of your...
You've got a beautiful woman at home. Do you ever see her?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, where do you think those two kids came from? Yeah, I see her sometimes. Okay, I'm sorry.
At least a couple. Hey, at the end of your email, you actually have a spot there where you talk about if the organizations are not on the BBB give.org accreditation site, then I highly recommend that people don't give. The problem with that is, Mac, none of the organizations in Shasta County, of which, you know, you and I are a part of, exist on that list. It's the BBB, the Better Business Bureau accreditation, has never been something that we've really, you know, sought after. And maybe that's something we should discuss and help some of these organizations get accredited.
Right.
So a little bit more, you know, comfortable with that. But in the meantime, there's not an organization within 150 miles, or actually it's even further than that, that actually is on that list. And
well,
so I'm hoping that you'll reach out to viewers and maybe even your email connections and let people know that, you know.
Yeah,
they,
it does.
They don't necessarily have to be on there.
Right, right. The website is... It's a very, very legitimate way to check out charity organizations.
I 100% agree with you.
But you also got to look at the point that
I want them on there.
Yeah, but you also got to look at the point that a lot of the charities are not locally here. There's people that we have nationwide charities.
Right.
People are contacting people from Florida and New York and, you know, Virginia. It's all these headquarters offices that they have spread out across our nation that they've just basically franchised out, and they are organizations. They fit the bill of an organization, but when you start digging in deeper to see if they met all the standards for accreditation to the Better Business Bureau.
100% agree with you, Mac.
Yeah.
I actually had one, Hometown Heroes, that was trying to put video monitors up in our VFW posts and so on, but they wanted donations, and they were actually seeking donations from businesses locally.
Right.
With the, you know, intent of saying that your commercials and your ads will be in the VFW post even before they actually, like, convinced us that was a good thing. So I get that part, but the way that the email reads, it reads that, you know, don't give to any of these organizations.
Nope, I never say don't. I say highly recommend.
There you go.
Highly recommend.
Okay, well,
I never just said don't.
Yep, and I see what Vin's saying, because that's what you and I talked about.
Yes.
I said, because there's, you know what, VFW's not in here, and, you know, but yet the VFW, I know, is a nonprofit and does. What you're seeing, what Mac is seeing is on a national level. Right. And that they have not given information. They've never even been looked at. You know, but if you look at some of them, it says there's been no complaints either.
Right.
So it's tough. You know, it might give you a place to start.
It's a tool.
It's a tool. But your local ones, you know, because you know, like AmVets wasn't. And AmVets is a national organization that does a lot for people, as we know, too. So, but, you know, the thing I appreciate, though, is, Mac, you know, is that you're trying to help and help people make their minds up.
We're getting a rash of calls across the county in my department, and I've been handing a lot of these cases over to the DA's office. So it is. It's something that I was like, well, and then the DA's office showed me this. I'm like, well, this is a website that you can use. I was like, wow, really? So,
And by the way, everybody, I got a phone call yesterday morning at 6:15 from a robocall from the IRS that said I was going to be going to court and I had to give them a call at this number. And it wasn't an 800 number. Right. It was like a 70-something number. And, of course, it was fake. The whole thing was fake. But when somebody calls you at 6:15 in the morning, you're a little, you know, logging, you may end up calling in. Because you know what they want. They want a credit card so you can pay off this amount and you won't have to go to court. So those calls are being made right now, too.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And this time of the year, all these charities are out there hitting. But, you know, like a good way to give was Tuesday, Giving Tuesday.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, those were accredited charities, local, that people could help.
Yeah.
And those were locally accredited.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we're going to be offering through the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council.
Right.
An accreditation portion on the website where you can go out and see how the accreditation is done, how they're actually accredited, you know, moving forward, how often they have to be audited, so on.
Right,
so,
right.
It is something that's a big concern of ours as well, Matt, and so we'll have to sit down and talk about you know, what that is, and I'll have to get your input as to, you know, what you'd like to see on there.
Yeah,
but
well,
this is something significant.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'm looking right now. I've partnered with the DA's office. We're going to have a fraud prevention class at the Vets Hall in March, and the news story of Channel 7 is going to interview me and the consumer fraud agent from the district attorney's office, and we're sort of partnering together. So I'm sort of like trying to sort of lead this class, but the DA's office is the expert. They're actually consumer fraud investigators, and they've been sort of helping me out with these recent cases in Shasta. So I think this fraud class that we're going to have in March is going to be really good for the community. Maybe it's something that we can start doing every quarter. And, you know, the DA's office is really jazzed up for all this, too. So I'm pretty excited. So
send a notice out, and we'll get it on our calendar.
Yep. It's already scheduled. I believe we have it for the it's the 10th of March, but I need to confirm that. I will go back and look and get a flyer done and send it out to everybody.
If you would, just ask it as a favor, send out to people and let them know that, you know, the local charities, a lot of them are good. Maybe there's another way that until we get our accreditation up and until we get these other things in place, or maybe we actually we start helping some of these organizations
go
through the accreditation process with the DVB.
But also applying for accreditation, it makes me wonder why somebody wouldn't apply, you know, or why wouldn't they be looked at.
How many charities have you belonged to? How many 501c3s?
Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
None. Zero.
Okay. And I probably belong to, sit on boards for maybe a half dozen.
Right.
And we never even considered it.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
That our business
Does this fall under the Brown Act?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one of those things you look at. You think, well, you know, if I was a business, you know, that would be a little different, but a lot of charities aren't.
That's why,
you know, they don't think
that's why when we looked at it, Mac and I looked at it and we saw that, all these other guys aren't on it too. So this isn't the end all, but we got it, you know, and taking off and starting a place, that's fine, but you're absolutely right. There's a lot of local ones around here that are good. So, okay.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Okay, we're here with Mac McCraw, who is the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We were just talking about there's so many place people out there asking you for money. How do you know they're any good? I'll tell you one way is that if it's you can call CVAC or you can call the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. If somebody says the Military Order of the Purple Heart, are they the local guys here, the chapter here? Are they a good organization? Well, yeah,
of course.
Yeah, they are. But you're not going to find them in the. I don't think. Well, you may find Purple Heart. I don't even know if you're going to find Purple Heart in this thing.
Right.
But they're a good organization, and you know, you have AmVets. That's a good organization.
Right.
You know, I don't know if One Safe Place is in this one.
Right. Good point.
See all those. See, some of it may not be in there.
But a lot of our locally ones, and that's easy to find out because we're a pretty communicative
community.
Right.
And if you have a doubt about a local organization, a couple of phone calls to the radio stations, to different places, and you're going to get some good information as to whether they're good or bad.
Both cases I've dealt with the veterans are actual... not even from California.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know
those calls, right now, those calls are coming out, and the mailboxes are full every day.
Right.
Of 80 places. I counted up 1 week, and if I had given $10 to each envelope or phone call that I got that week, I'd have been out over $1,000.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like...
So I didn't get to $10?
No.
Yeah.
So, but every day, everybody's asking him for money. Yeah, I think people need to make a choice about what they're really interested in.
Right.
The place they want to help. Plenty of places to give your money and then donate to locally where you can see it.
I donate. Children's Christian Fund is one I give to, and I actually adopted a child in Thailand through that program. So that's a sound program. I know that. There's certain ones that I know that are give certain amount of money, almost all the money
You adopted a child in Thailand. The fact that she was 28. And worked in a place in Padilla Beach that had anything
No.
Okay, just wondering. Okay. No, I know. Look at him. He's just
brilliant.
Look at that red. I'm sorry. You know what? I apologize for that. I kind of mostly sincerely apologize for that.
Okay.
We got to take a break here. This is Carl Watt and Trace Clark and the very red Mac McCraw. We'll be right back. It's Christmas, Mac. You're in the right colors here. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Take your passion.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group and the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
The holidays are on us at Reading Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchased. Treat yourself to a 2015 Optima, 2016 Forte, 2016 Sportage, 2016 Sorento, or a 2016 Soul, and Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you. Plus, when the holidays are on us, your first payment won't be due until spring. That's 5 months. What will you do with all that extra money during the holidays? This is the best sale we've had all year at Reading Kia. Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you, and you don't have to make a payment until next spring. Take a test drive, make a great deal, and enjoy your holidays. Plus, tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation charges, and any emission testing charges. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com. On approval of credit, must finance through Kia Motors Finance, subject to prior sale, ends 1/4/16. The holidays are on us. Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
Season's greetings. This is Mac McCraw, the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. As an Air Force retiree who previously deployed to Iraq, I know how important it is to graciously say thank you to all the currently deployed soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines for putting your life on the line every day to defend freedom so that all of us back home can keep safe. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we will see you soon when you come home. And thank you, Shasta County family members, for your support during the holidays.
Has your flooring seen just one too many holiday seasons? Time to renew with Shasta Lake Floors. Lots of carpet, woods, tiles, and laminates in stock that can actually be installed by Christmas. Many special order items can be installed by the new year. The lowest prices and great financing, too, with rates as low as 0% OAC. Color, style, selection, low prices, great financing, quick professional installation. It all comes wrapped up in one package at Shasta Lake Floors. 4052 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. 8 times voted best in the North State.
Oh, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Cold outside. It's 48 degrees outside, my friend.
Not going to get much warmer either.
No,
only
it's
52.
Going to 52. What's it look like today there?
It looks like it's going to rain.
Trish Clark.
Looks like it's going to rain. But not till about noon, I've decided.
Okay, you've decided. Trish says, "Well, we're going to get the weather rock out there, and we'll see what the weather rock says."
Yeah.
If the weather rock says it's, you know, if it's wet, it says it's rainy.
There you go.
And if it's dry, it's
kind of like you really know it's cold because you walk outside and it's cold.
That's right. And you breathe. Ah, you know what? When it's really cold, when you breathe and the hairs inside your nose stick together, you know, then you know.
Now I have to say I can't identify with that.
Oh, okay.
I've never had that.
Or your eyebrows freeze together. It's 10 minutes until 8 o'clock.
That's a heck of a weather report.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The weather's brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane, as always.
But I tell you what, are they good people? You know
they
what?
Are.
They were working, and I, you know, here's just, you know, I have to throw this out, is I'm working with Chuck Kenny.
Hello.
We're running, we run trucks with to help Chuck out there. But, you know, Chuck hires veterans, and I'm a veteran. So he hired us. But you know what? He won an award. He and Judy won an award. For hiring veterans.
Oh, beautiful.
A statewide award for the small business that hires veterans. And he just won it here this year. So you can't say much more than that about somebody that cares.
Right.
And the man is always moving. He's a Vietnam vet and a helicopter pilot, wounded, Purple Heart. But his mind is always working on how he can keep moving forward. So, as right. many people, entrepreneurs do in this town, in this city, people I've become associated with,
county.
I am just with.
In this county.
In this
because
county.
This business is in Anderson.
Anderson is just exploding down. When you say Anderson explodes, it doesn't mean the fireworks.
Right.
They're talking about, I mean, that's why Chuck moved to Anderson to get his company off the ground, you know, originally. So, there's a lot of veterans out there that are working hard. Lyle Tullis. Vietnam vet.
Right.
And look what he's done. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have worked really hard, a lot of good veterans, you know, a lot of veterans, out, and they're helping other veterans.
And county this has is been the known way for many should, years for, way for supporting
be.
Our veteran
it
population.
Is. I actually put that number on that database when I put those numbers out of vet data source. I think there was like 7,000 almost veterans that are employed in Shasta County.
Yeah.
Over the 17,000 that we have, that's actually pretty remarkable because I remember a lot of those people are elderly and they cannot work. That's really remarkable.
Okay, so. You've got something there that you...
I do. I wanted to talk about the Northern California Veterans Cemetery, Carl. You know, we do a lot of things for widow and death benefits in our department. You know, across the nation, there's 133 national cemeteries which are available to veterans. But specifically, what is so special about Shasta County is that we have the Northern California Veterans Cemetery, and they sort of primarily serve the veterans population in the area of the 18 northernmost California counties, Shasta being one of those. So I really wanted to talk about that. A lot of people are sort of sometimes like, well, how do I get information about this place and what's available to me, as a surviving spouse or child, you know, that I can receive for benefits.
You know, and this is really important when the especially if you're on active duty,
right?
And that and your spouse dies on active duty, there's an immediate payment that goes to the spouse or the family,
right,
to help them. And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, just they can spend it any way they want, really.
Right.
Kim Chamberlain was in yesterday talking about Reeves Across America, and which is a huge thing that goes up there.
Right.
But this our cemetery, our cemetery up there at IGO plays a big part in our veterans community.
It does.
And
it does.
A lot of people volunteer up there. A lot of people do a lot. So
it is. It's very beautiful, too. I remember when I first came here, we did the Memorial Day ceremony, and that was just, you know, it's just breathtaking, the view up uh-huh. there. But what's happening, a lot of people say, how does the Veterans Service Office help with that, and how do we work in connection with IGO? And it is. We have forms there that people can pick up. The eligibility form, it's called the Eligibility Determination Form, and it helps people. They can fill it out and see if they're eligible and apply to the cemetery. They can also get that directly from the cemetery, too, but that is sometimes a long drive out there. So if they're in the immediate area,
yeah.
We can help them fill out that paper.
Yeah, because some people think that they can go in that cemetery, and they may not
right,
be able to.
Certain hours.
And the other thing, too, I'm always confused about this one, and I'm not going to waste everybody's time on this,
right.
but as a veteran that's retired either from time or medically retired,
right.
what the death benefits are. I mean, how much does the government do for me? Do they provide a coffin? Do they provide a coffin and a headstone?
Yep. It depends. It also depends getting in a private cemetery or you're getting buried in a national cemetery.
Yeah, I'm going to get buried with my friends.
Yeah, if it's going to be a private, you're eligible for like a marker that can go on the headstone. You also have the burial flag, the presidential memorial certificate. There's many things that go along with that.
That's not signed by Obama, is it?
It depends on when you order it.
It all depends on when you die.
Okay, well, you know what?
Be careful, Carl.
I'm feeling very good here for another year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So,
keep going.
So, yes, and it's at no cost to the family. Some veterans may also be for what they call burial allowances or reimbursement. So as long as you keep the receipt, it doesn't matter really who buried the deceased. As long as you do the receipt, you have that receipt, the government will pay you up to $2,000 for a private cemetery burial.
Okay, well, what about for the taking care of the body?
The body and movement and transportation of the body, yes.
Well, not just transportation, but somebody they do the cremation in this case.
Cremation is considered burial. It's considered the same thing as if you were, you know, placing underground.
Okay, so the government then would pick up the cost for that.
Yep, but there's a cap.
There's a cap.
Yeah, for $2,000.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, how much did it cost to
not
burn
much,
me?
Right.
I mean, there's people who would do it for free.
Right.
So. What?
Right.
Hey.
But we stray from the subject.
We stray from the subject there.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really important. That's one thing that's going on, Carl. I have a couple of other things. I want to talk about events that are happening across Shasta and a couple
great.
Of committees.
Oh, yeah. A lot of things happening here.
Yeah. We have the Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day that's happening on the 7th of December.
Which is...
that's going to be
Monday.
Monday.
And that's going to. Where's that going to be at?
That's going to be at the 1500 Court Street.
Yeah, right up here.
Right up at the county administrative office, yeah. Between the county administrative office and the courthouse.
They used to do it outside. They've changed that a couple of years ago now. Now it's held inside the board chambers.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So
because everybody's getting kind of old out there.
Exactly. Right. It's a little bit easier on people, too.
All
so
right.
That's
good information because that was a very cold celebration years, and it almost always rained.
People, and I don't like the cold weather.
Well, and our Pearl, Harbor veterans are getting older.
They're getting up there.
Yeah.
Okay, right. What else?
Right, so we have that. Also, the Reading Home originally did, the Veterans Reading Home out there in Knighton Road, they did a drive. It was called Operation Holiday Joy. Where people can actually adopt a veteran that's in the home, and they can fill out the ticket and everything and put something for the tree. Now, I've heard that they're really doing well with that, and actually there might not be no more veterans to
be
available.
No more. Linda was out there decorating trees Monday.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, they did that out
so
there.
So they're totally taken up, but I believe that they are still accepting donations in different forms. And if you wanted to, you can call them at 530-224-2819,
okay.
And you can ask what else you could do for the holiday.
And they have an ongoing wish list that you can get.
Let's go to the phones. We've only got like a minute here, Ter.
Yeah, there's a young man named Preston Sharp. I don't know if you've heard of him or not.
Yeah, we're talking to his mom.
Okay, to April. She came to the tea party, and they came, and what a wonderful young man. He's placing flags and flowers on every veteran's grave in Shasta County in honor of his grandfather.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's 2,500 graves up there.
An amazing
thing.
This young man said he didn't want anything for Christmas. All he wants to do is put flags and flowers on all the veterans' graves because they need to be honored. And he is raising some money for these little flags and stuff. But what a wonderful young man!
We're going to have him on the show here next week.
He's
going to
be on Sovereign Minds on Sunday.
Okay.
He will be on Sovereign Minds. He and his mother on Sunday, and you know. It was quite moving at the tea party when we had him speak. Again, you're going to have a great guest there, Carl. But it shows you what one he was told by his grandfather: never underestimate what one man can do, son.
There you go.
Oh, he's right. Okay, Terry, thanks. Got to run.
Yep.
All right.
That's amazing.
It
wow.
is. And
wow.
So we've got to support this young man. And I mean, I don't know how much flags cost, but it can't be that much.
That is,
you know, I mean, you should talk about the little flags and then some flowers. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Because we got Wreaths Across America, too, going at the same time. You know, okay, what else you got?
And I want to mention that where I was talking about the home, the Reading Home, it's run by CalVet, right? And the VA Reading Home, it's part of the CDVA is what it is, California Department of Veterans Affairs and CalVet. What is important is today I want to mention that the committee there needs members. So if you want to become a committee member, please call President Linda Kent at 530-221-0101.
Linda Kent is just an outstanding person, just loves veterans and is a big supporter of the veteran community. Okay,
thank you,
Mac McCraw was with us here for our December runaround. A lot of things going on here,
yes.
Mac. Thanks so much for what you do for the veterans here.
My pleasure, sir. Best job in the world.
Well, it's you're doing a good job at it, partner.
And we really especially remember the veterans this time of year.
Yeah.
It's cold. It's the holiday season. It can be very depressing. Reach out to them and make them feel like they're a part of our community.
That is beautiful.
Thank you. It's 8 o'clock. We'll be right back after the news with Angie Watson running for county supervisor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Was it an act of domestic terrorism, workplace violence? Those are the types of questions police are asking today about yesterday's shooting at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California. For the victims and their families, the shock still lingers, of course. Kathy Hotetz says her sister Denise Peraza did survive and explained to KNBC-TV.
She doesn't know who made it, who's out at hospital, so it's, you know, it's an emotional time for her.
More questions than answers, of course, for those so close to the shooting, but even for lawmakers as far away as Washington, D.C. as well. House Speaker Paul Ryan says, like many Americans, he's still reeling from yesterday's news.
This is just a horrible event. I mean, my stomach turns like any American when they see this kind of violence, and you can't help but watch this on TV and yell at the TV and say, what can we do to prevent this from happening?
Ryan telling CBS's This Morning the country's psychiatric policies are in need of serious revision. Russian President Vladimir Putin using his State of the Nation address today to call for a broader and more effective international effort to fight terrorist groups like ISIS. Vladimir Ishchenkov, though, reports from Moscow there was no specific mention of Syria's embattled President Bashar Assad, who Moscow supports.
He didn't say a single word about Syria's political transition, specifically about the fate of Assad, which still remains a main stumbling block for efforts to pull Russian and Western efforts together.
A main stumbling block because Russia is accused by Western nations of diverting its airstrikes almost entirely against the rebels who oppose Assad rather than against their purported target, the ISIS terrorists. U.S. factory orders increased 1.5% in October. They were boosted by aircraft, computers, and machinery. Average long-term U.S. mortgage interest rates edged a little lower this week. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage slipped to 3.93%, down from 3.95% this time last week. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Yahoo's board is considering an activist shareholders demand that to sell the Internet services the company is best known for. Correspondent Jeremy House has more.
It's a move that could help the company avoid a tax bill of over $10 billion looming over its holdings in China's Alibaba Group. The boardroom intrigue concerns a recent proposal from Starboard Value, a New York hedge fund that was pressuring Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer to take dramatic steps to boost the company's stock. It's not known if the strategy will succeed. Earlier this year, the Internal Revenue Service declined to guarantee such a maneuver would qualify for a tax exemption. Jeremy House reporting.
Google is nearly doubling the amount of renewable energy feeding its massive data centers. The long-term commitments announced today cover up to 842 megawatts of power that will be flowing from six different wind and solar power projects scheduled to be finished within 2 years. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A truck manufacturer is recalling more than 2,000 semis because, as Keith Peters reports, they can reach speeds greater than their tires were built to handle.
The move by Peterbilt in the U.S. and Canada raises questions about the safety of thousands of other trucks on U.S. roads. Peterbilt says in government documents that it's recalling tractors from 2009 to 2016 because they can exceed 75 miles per hour, even though the maximum speed their Michelin tires can handle is 65 miles an hour. The trucks mainly haul automobiles. Peterbilt says the tires can fail and cause a crash. Dealers will reprogram computers so the trucks can't go over 65. Keith Peters reporting.
It's been a seesaw session so far on Wall Street. The major index is up, then down. Now they're up and down again. It's the Dow Jones Industrial Average back into negative territory right now, down by 54 points. A high-tech NASDAQ down by about 10. More on these stories, townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, the 3rd of December. It's 8:05 in the morning, and Trishy.
Good morning, Carl.
My Thursday girl.
I just love Thursdays, and it's not raining yet. It's not going to rain until about noon. I've made up my mind.
And that's because Trish doesn't want it to rain.
Because I got stuff to do this morning. So we're looking, it's 48 degrees as we speak now. It's going to get up to 52 today. We are expecting major rain after around 11 a.m. this morning. Could be heavy at times, only going to get to low of about 42. Friday, about 50% chance of rain. And then on Saturday, a good chance of rain again. So we're going to have rain off and on throughout the weekend. We can certainly use that moisture, too. Not so cold. It's kind of a warm storm, so the snow levels are going to be pretty high. Shasta Gas Propane brings us the weather. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, that's it.
Before we get into our guests, yeah. I just want to just throw out one little reminder. Down at Frontier Senior Center this weekend, we have a Christmas bazaar Saturday and Sunday, snack bar on Saturday, and the breakfast, first Sunday of the month, breakfast on Sunday. So 8 to 11. Everybody get out and get down there.
I have that in there. I was going to talk about it, but since you beat me to it.
I know, but I'll be sure I get that in there.
Okay. Hey, look, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends out at Wind River. Elements Lounge, tonight is the Christmas show. Lady Bot and the Bluebirds are going to be rocking out there.
Gotta be there.
I tell you what, it's going to be jazz, Christmas songs, rock and roll. Great food.
Some great guests.
Great guests out there. There may, you know, who you can never tell what happens during these shows. I mean, last time somebody started tap dancing. You know, it was a regular tap dancer. Tap dancer out there.
And what's his name that sang
Scott Lewis?
Scott Lewis. Oh my goodness.
Sang Hallelujah.
Sang Hallelujah. Yeah, Leonard right. Cohen's Hallelujah, and whoa.
Knocked it down. Knocked it out of the park.
Knocked it out of the park.
So then tonight there's going to be all types of little surprises going on, but you're going to need reservations. Place is filled up. But give them a call at 243-3377. Say you want to go into Romance on the River and Elements Lounge tonight. 243-3377. You know, filet mignon and lobster, $21. Excuse me.
And it's good.
Plus anything else you want on the menu there. All types of great things there. Tonight at Elements. Okay, in our continuing quest of bringing light to Northern California, we have all the people that are running for office cycle through here. Probably cycle is not the right word. They all come here on their own volition, and we get to know them. And as we've had this last couple of weeks, we've had, of course, Gary Cadd, who's running for re-election for the city council. We've had Adam McElvain, who is running for election to City Council.
Reading City Council. We have three city councils.
I understand that. And Leah Tate, who's running for Reading City Council. And today we have Angie Watson, who is running for the 4th District Supervisor seat, currently held by
Bill Chappell. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, there's more to Angie than that, though.
There's a whole lot more to Angie than that. Yes, definitely.
Tell us who Angie is.
So, first of all, I think a lot of people know me through Take Back Reading, which started Take Back Reading Shasta County, which started last February. I've been extremely active in the community trying to bring change. And I'm also a college instructor and real estate broker. Most of all, I'm a mom, and I am passionate about this community. So there's a whole lot to me.
Okay. So tell us about Take Back Reading.
So Take Back Reading started last February, just a grassroots community group. It started from a letter that I wrote talking about some of the concerns in the community, some issues that aren't being talked about. And it's a group of people that came together because we want to find solutions rather than rants and raves. And there are 5,000 people in the group. So sometimes you get on there and there are some rants and raves, but we try and keep it to a minimum. We have done a lot of things over the last year. We've been actively involved, some not so traditional. So I don't know what you know about, but I'm going to tell the community about a few of them. We did a rally at the city council against heroin. So something that's not being talked about and needs to be talked about. We have been out in front of the district attorney's office and talked about some of the different sentencing that's going on with child molesters not receiving maximum sentencing. We've talked to the city council about bringing jobs in the area. We've talked about poverty, mental health. So there's a lot of different issues, and we can dig into whichever ones you want.
Okay. And then, okay, so that's a Take Back Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running for Shasta County, though.
Yes.
Board of Supervisors.
Board of
district
Supervisors.
District 4 specifically. Mm-hmm. Which so, is, tell us about what that district is.
So that district actually is, there's a lot of Reading in that district, and then it goes all the way north to Lakehead, and it covers Shasta Lake. It covers the northeastern part of Reading, so Shasta View area, Edgewood, all the way over to the freeway.
Okay. Now, since a lot of the things you're doing concerns Reading, why run for supervisor as opposed to the city council?
So everything that happens with the supervisor position impacts all of Reading. When you are talking about jail space, when you are talking about mental health, all of those are issues that are impacting both the county and the city. So it's actually an area where you can get involved and make a difference.
What does the would you say is your the thing that you're if you're looking at your priorities?
Mental health.
Mental health.
Yes.
And then?
Poverty in this area.
And then?
It all ties together. So I look at the drugs and the youth opportunity. So there's issues that everybody knows are going on, and they're not being talked about. So I think there's a lot of politicians out there, and we need to stop being politicians and talk about what's really going on and get down to the issues. And that's what I'm here for, is to bring up those issues, put them out there, and do something about it.
Public safety.
Public safety ties into all of that.
Okay.
So public safety comes from the fact that we have so many drugs in the area. The fact we sent the second most offenders to prison. Why is that? It's not because people weren't committing crimes. It's the simple fact that we live in a high poverty area. We have drugs. We have little opportunity for our youth. We have a lot of negative things going on in a beautiful area with passionate people. So if we can do something about this, we have an amazing place to be.
So you've identified the problems, and I think we all know what they are. We're hoping when we elect people that they have some solutions.
Definitely. And I think mental health is an area that has been looked over, and nobody's putting – just now, actually, you just now are seeing the focus come out. And it's been years of being set aside. So this is an area that really needs to be talked about. There needs to be money there for it. It needs to be top priority.
And where do you get the money for it? There's the rub, because we all know about that. The mental health facility was closed in Shasta County many years ago, and the driving force was liability and money.
Yeah.
And not enough money in the world. And how do you get the money in your community to solve these problems?
So there's a few different ways. One is there were some grants that were missed. There's been missed opportunities through the state where we did not apply for these grants. And other counties did, and they were issued funds for mental health. The other thing is, this is a compassionate community. I mean, people are interested, people are scared, and they are worried, and they see what's going on. You get the community involved, and we can make a difference together.
So okay. Good. Hey, our guest is Angie Watson, who is the founder of Take Back Reading. Is that correct?
Correct.
And is running for 4th District supervisor position. In this upcoming election, we're going to take a quick break, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, just an outstanding place when you walk into Espresso Joe's. Espresso Joes with lattes and pumpkin spice and hot coffee, and it's at real reasonable prices, and they sell coffee beans, you know, and coffee, ground coffee, by the pound, not the, you know, 12 ounces, and they make it look like it's a pound, but it's not. It's a whole pound. Great wines, all types of brew, and
how special Christmas coffee.
Oh, everything. Official Christmas coffee at all. And veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. Then walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in all of Northern California with a walk-in humidor that is just simply outstanding. It's a great place to find those cigars for your loved ones. And, you know, be they male or female, and all types of tobacco accessories. All of this is a veteran in a veteran-owned store right there. Tobacco and Brew does so much for our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive. So many things they do to help out the homeless and veterans that need a hand up and all this, or a helping hand. All this is Tobacco and Brew. We'll be right back. Angie Watson, Carl Bott, and Trish Clark.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers and corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvie here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.com.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvie. We're here to help.
Alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Blue Skies. James and Diane Purcell were warming to the idea of adding solar to their home, but they wanted to manage the financing according to their cash flow and timeline. That's when Tri-Counties banker Nikki Euchre and her team had a shining idea. A home equity line of credit would provide the Purcells with the monthly flexibility they wanted. Plus, with the additional savings from going solar, they could offset their loan payments, allowing them to do other home improvements, like updating their bathroom and installing new carpeting, while staying on time and on budget. It's blue skies from here. Home equity lines of credit. Home mortgage lending. Home, sunny home. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 458732.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
I've got to make you dance to that one.
If you're not out of bed now with that cup of coffee and you're just kind of like moving, you know, slowly around the room, Jarhead. And see, it's 8:18 in the morning here on the 3rd of December, a Thursday. 48 degrees, going up to 52 today with a lot of rain coming through. Shasta Gas Propane always brings us the weather reports. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Firearms dealer of choice here because of the customer service, great customer service they have. The selection of pistols, revolvers, long guns, shotguns, all the shooting accessories, the reloading equipment, the optics, the viewfinders, rangefinders, everything. They've got it all there at Bastiani Arms, and two gunsmiths that are just outstanding. I mean, just outstanding. All of this, and you can get classes on concealed carry and hunter safety. All of this in one stop. A locally owned, locally operated gun store right here in town, Bastiani Arms, and they give veterans discounts. And they really do give veterans discounts. You'll see other people say they do, but they don't, you know. But these guys do. John Bastiani, great guy, honest guy. Bastiani Arms. We're here with Angie Watson, who is running for 4th District Supervisor. Of course, I'm here with Trish Clark, who knows everything about being a supervisor. Because she was a super, you were the super supervisor.
I was a supervisor for 16 years.
For 16 years.
Yeah.
Angie, the county voted against having a larger incarceration facility. You're not running against that guy. The two people that voted not to have it are Leonard Modi, who we're lining up for a show here, and David Kehoe.
And Les Ball.
No, Les Ball voted for it.
Yeah.
He voted for it. There's only two that it was 3-2. Pam, Bill, and Les voted to expand
to have the
and facility.
They needed a fourth vote.
They needed a fourth vote, and okay. Kehoe said no, and Modi said no. So you still got those two no votes. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Generally, because this is your first time on here, and if you haven't quite formed all the things you can do. That's fine. We're just trying to find out. So generally, how would you change something like that?
First of all, I'm hoping that comes back up. I know that they're pushing for that to come back up here in January before it's too late, because it is going to be costly to build later a new facility to add more. So yes, much more. So I am hoping that the community gets involved and gets in there and tells the Board of Supervisors their concerns and they want to see this expansion and pushes for a revote on that. And I know that Basenko is pushing to get that back on the agenda, so I'm hoping that it does go back.
Well, but they have got to have changed one of those two votes in
they
the meantime.
Do.
And the reality is, I think the argument can certainly be made that you could build it. If you don't have the ability to staff it immediately, a portion of it could be closed off and then opened at such time you do have the ability.
Frankly, I think if you build it, they will come.
Well, the people will come to fill it, whether you've got the manpower. And I can play both sides of that game about locking people up, because it's a system. And if you can lock them up there, but if you don't have the staff to staff them and the district attorneys and the public defenders and the court space to handle them once you get them in there, you haven't accomplished anything.
Well, that's true.
It's not just about running a jail.
No, I understand that. But, however.
However, it does make sense if the money's there and you're into the construction to go ahead and build the facility.
Even if you don't use it right
then. Even if you can't use it right away.
Okay, all right. So, Angie's for that.
I am for that. And I wanted to go back to a question you asked earlier, too. Where does the money come from? Because a huge part of everything going on is the economy in our area and jobs. If we can bring businesses here, if we can bring industry, everything across the board changes.
It does.
We do not need this attitude.
Crime goes down.
Crime, everything.
Yeah,
yes.
Domestic abuse, all this stuff goes down.
So if we can break the cycle of poverty, we start breaking the cycle of addiction. We start bringing in opportunity for our youth. We bring education. Every single thing goes with it. So county and city together need to have a yes, we can attitude and stop the obstacles that keep the businesses away.
County and cities.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm constantly training people here because it's a countywide thing, and there are three incorporated cities in Shasta County.
Cities. And you're seeing it in Anderson.
You're absolutely right, and I'm the county voice out here.
Exactly.
That has to tell you that it's a whole community.
It is a whole community.
Beyond the city of Reading.
Yes,
and the city of Shasta Lake is out reaching out. They're finding different ways, too.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so what are some ideas you have for bringing business in here?
For one, you need incentives. And I know I've met with the city manager in Shasta Lake. I've met with the economic group here. And there are incentives if people go in and ask for them. But let me tell you, when you're a developer and you go other areas, you don't have to go in and beg. They are putting it out there. If you look on the East Coast and you go South Carolina, North Carolina, Atlanta, obviously it's a different atmosphere. But you walk in the door and they are fighting for your business. How can we get your business? What can we do? Can we pay this? Can we do this? Here, we don't have that attitude. I work with developers all the time that say, I'm taking my business elsewhere. I can't deal with the mentality of this county, of this city, of... And we can't have that. We need businesses that come, they knock on the door, and we say, how can we help you? How can we get you here? And how can we get the jobs? Period. And then the money comes in for law enforcement, for mental health, for education, all the way around. And that's where it needs to start.
I think that a lot of this is mindset. Mm-hmm. That and it's funny because one person can make a big difference. I was told yesterday by Brent Weaver they've got a new guy coming in to take over all the planning in this, and then he's got some ideas, and he told me in confidence what some of them were, and I thought, oh my gosh, if this guy's really going to do this, this is a new attitude they have over in the city. The county, people like different county members there, but I've talked to several people. 2 years to get a business off the ground here? 2 years?
We had a project down in the unincorporated area before it annexed to the city of Anderson, where they were before the Planning Commission for 3.5 years.
You've got the Planning Commission that says that, we're not going to...
We need more information.
We don't think you should build out on Knighton Road to Johansson.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go to the phones. Terry, you're back again. You just love us.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. First of all, it's refreshing to see younger people running. That's refreshing.
It is.
The question I've got is actually twofold. One is, you're running against Bill Chappell, who thinks the same way you do. And a lot of the issues you seem to be bringing up are issues that are in the city. Why aren't you running for city council, number one? And number two, Les Baugh did say in Anderson when I talked to him and the sheriff a couple of weeks ago at a city council meeting that he is going to bring it up about the jail again. However, if you win, you only there's no difference between you being there and Bill being there voting for the sheriff to be able to get his way on this. So I'm trying to figure out why your issues are mostly with the city, because that's where we have the crime problems, and you're going to the county. Maybe you can address that.
I definitely can. So,
thanks, Carrie.
Like I mentioned before, a lot of the county stuff covers both. When you're talking about the jail, when you're talking about mental health, that is county stuff. I do want to say I think Bill Chappell is an amazing guy. He is very nice from everything that I have heard, a very nice guy. A few weeks ago, I was at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and Shasta Community Health presented, and they give the most services for the homeless. They give the most services for mental health. They work with the lower income levels. And at the end of the presentation, Bill Chappell raised his hand and said, "Where are you located at?" In my mind, we need to be out there meeting with all of these people. We need to be in their faces. He is a very nice guy, but nice doesn't do it. We have to be active, because nice doesn't help what's going on in this community. I will be in the faces of every single person making a difference. I promise you that, and we'll be in front of our youth. So there is a big difference.
Okay. That's an interesting answer. I like that. I thought it was good. And what Terry said was a good question about that, and the differences here. Okay. The other thing, too, is how do you feel about the state of Jefferson?
I have to honestly say
I'm asking that is because you're going to hear this question 1,000 times. You might as well hear it now.
And position that our Board of Supervisors has taken.
Right.
Yes, I do. And I have to honestly say that I have not been informed enough to give you a response. I recently talked to Trish about this just very briefly, and I can't say that I've been informed enough to be able to, because I heard about it years ago when there wasn't so much developed on it. So that's an area I obviously have to listen to give you an informed answer.
Well, we'll give you a pass on it because, like I said, first time around,
Second time you better have an answer. That's right.
Second time going to have. Yeah, you need an answer then. Hey, we're going to take a break here, but let's talk about this portion of the show being brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive. The sale is on.
Oh, there you
23rd year of sales. And let me tell you something. You're going to need to go down there and work with Leonard now. You need to go in there. He's got them all out there. Everything's on sale. He has got just outstanding jewelry. I was in there yesterday. looking at stuff.
Oh, I got to get all my Christmas shopping done for everybody else before I can go to Leonard because I buy for myself.
Yeah, I know. Well, he has got it all in there. And they're standing by. And it's just, I mean, people, I can't even talk to him. When I was in there yesterday to talk to him, I was looking at some things. And I couldn't even talk to him. There's so many people in there. Mm. And they're coming in. Oh, I want this. Or I want that. You know, okay. All right, fine. I'll just walk out. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, a full-service store where they can cut jewelry, they can cut gems, they can do all of those things. They can design them and make them for you.
And the
only trained watch repairman in the whole area, right there at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, across the road from Sierra Gibbs, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
NorCal Limo, the ultimate in luxury limousines.
This is Jamie with NorCal Limousine. Here at NorCal Limo, we specialize in group transportation, birthday parties, proms, weddings, Manton wine tours, ladies' night out, guys' night out, Christmas light tours, concerts, and we service all the major airports. Don't worry about parking fees and wasted gas money. NorCal Limo will pick you up and take you anywhere in the North State area. Packages start at $150. Enjoy the finest in expertise and precision with the newest limo in town. Check out our website at www.norcallimo.com or give us a call at 276-8851.
Licensed and insured, TCP 31143.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wine at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wine can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds December 3rd at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us as we celebrate the holidays with our favorite jazz standards and Christmas songs, starring Pat Karch on keyboards, Bobby Viramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, and my very special guest, Lou White on sax and flute. That's Romance on the River from 7 to 9 p.m. Dine, dance, enjoy friends, music, and more. December 3rd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Good morning there, Trishy.
Good morning. I love Thursday morning. It's the best day of the week.
You're my Thursday girl.
There you go.
8:33 in the morning, 48 degrees out there, going up to 52 today.
And rain afternoon.
Rain starts at noontime, according to Trish.
I want things I need
Shasta
to do.
Shasta Gas morning. Propane brings us those weather reports, 365-3793. And, of course, this portion of the show, because it's 8:30. Is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway, man's last stronghold. What can I say? The cheers of barbershops. Veteran-owned, discounts for seniors and veterans. You want to find out what's going on in there or in the country? Just go in there. And I promise you, Dr. Phil, General Hospital, Dr. Oz will never be on that TV. Will never be on that TV. Anyway, big shout out to them. Hey, walk on down the street a little bit further on Athens to Classic Cafe, too. Millie and Kathy do so much for our veterans. It's like a mini veterans museum in there when you look on the walls with all the pictures of all the ones that have served. Not only that, but you get a big hug, and then you get a great breakfast lunch.
Great home cooking.
Great home cooking. Classic cafe. Okay, Trish, we have with us Angie Watson, who is running for district supervisor, District 4, here in the county, that representing all of us out here, including, of course, Anderson, Shasta City, Shasta Lake, and Redding.
The decision the county supervisor makes very definitely touches on the entire everything. County, every citizen.
Okay, let's just ask a couple basic questions. Second Amendment?
I think everybody... Okay, we can really dig into this because there's so much going on. There are so many good people that deserve the opportunity to protect themselves, without a doubt.
Coughing.
I had a tickle in my throat, was going to cough, and could hardly speak. So
okay. That's okay.
I apologize
happens to me a lot. But Trish takes over, nobody even knows.
Yeah, I just start talking.
Okay, Second Amendment.
I just interrupted him.
What's your stand on the Second Amendment?
So ask me some specific questions and let's get into them. So
well, Second Amendment, how do you feel about that? Is that something that we need to worry about?
Okay, the sheriff issues concealed carry permits. How do you feel about concealed carry?
Definitely. I think that most of Shasta County agrees. You have the right to have a gun. The people that have the right to have the guns are not the ones out shooting people. The people out shooting people are the people that don't care about the laws in the first place. You can bet they don't go, you know what, I don't care about the law that tells me not to shoot 9 people, but I do care about the law that goes and tells me not to buy a gun, not to steal a gun. Seriously?
Okay. So on the...
Supporter of a Second Amendment.
Supporter of the Second Amendment.
The question here is, most of what she is saying on mental health, the county has no control over. California shorted the issue millions over the last 2 years and control where the money goes. How are you going to fix that?
First of all, like I said before, if we bring jobs here, we bring money into the county. There's a big difference. The money can be used for mental health. It can be used for across the board. So that is a big issue. Second, there has been state grants that we have missed applying for. Third, there are nonprofit organizations doing a lot of stuff. The county needs to get involved, know what those are, and be informed and informing others. So there are things we can do. We can't ignore it.
Okay. How do you feel about homeless and housing the homeless?
Okay, so if we're going to talk about homeless, we have to talk about several different areas. You can't wrap it all up into one. So we have criminal activity, we have addicts, you have people that just enjoy being homeless, and then you have those that have fell on unfortunate situations. So you have to look, and then you have mentally ill. So you have to divide it up. You can't clump it into one and say, here's what we do with the homeless. You have to deal with the different situations.
Okay. So... There's a group that want to build tiny houses, and it will probably be somewhere in the county land. And I think each tiny house costs $60,000 or more to house two people at a time, sometimes one person at a time. Is that a good idea, or is that something that will that attract more?
So that's really broad. It would really have to be broken down. If you go in and say, okay, we want to do this type of program, then you have to look. There are areas where it's been successful and areas where it hasn't, because you'd have to look, okay, is this a rehabilitation program that gets these people back on their feet? Does it have job training? Are there mental health services? What is out there? Do we go and just put a bunch of tiny houses for people to live free and enjoy other people's money? Absolutely not. If we have different transitional housing opportunities, that may not be tiny houses, but if there are different transitional opportunities that get people back on their feet, that is very different than providing free housing for people where they're just living off of your money.
Okay.
Good point. And of course, as you indicate, getting them into the categories is the difficult part, and figuring out those that you can help. There's a school of thought, which I kind of happen to agree with, that we need to really target our services. Because if we just start building and giving more services, that's part of the problem we've got in the state of California to begin with. And they tell us that when you interview these people. Chief Paletti will tell you, when you ask them, why are you here, they picked up something in Texas that tells them there are lots of benefits in Northern California.
Definitely, and you get more money than you do in other states, and we have pretty decent weather. There are a lot of things bringing people here.
You know, if you're living on unemployment or welfare up in the state of California, you can make more money than a person working for minimum wage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to look at all those criteria before you figure out who they are.
Let's go to the phones. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thursday with Trish is my favorite day as well.
Oh, Jan, I like you. Thanks.
I just had a comment about the state of Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
The state of Jefferson is about lack of representation in the North State.
Yes.
In Sacramento. And Bill Chappelle acknowledges that lack of representation and sees Jefferson as a possible solution. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Thanks, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
Okay, bye.
So, Bill Chappelle supports...
Yes, he
the
does.
State of Jefferson. Okay.
And the point was made earlier, I think Terry made it, that certainly there's that Angie is supporting many of the things that Bill has been very supportive of. He has unfortunately been outvoted on many of those issues by the present makeup of the board. So that is a challenge for someone running for that district that's of the same mindset, because I think Angie addressed that, and the people will have to make their decision. But there's no question that Bill has stood on the right side of most of the issues that let's say, Carl and I are on of. And everybody knows that I'm a little right of Attila the Hun, so
but I'm, not.
I'm very conservative.
I'm not right of Attila. Because there's a lot of people out there right of Attila. So, but you're one of them, that's true. I guess the other thing, too, is when we're talking about running for the county, is Leonard Modi's running also for reelection. And Leonard is one of the ones that voted against expanding development. Now, I don't know of anybody that's running against Leonard Modi. So if he may run unopposed. So you still got the two people there, Kehoe and Modi.
So you think I should move into Modi's district? Is that what you're saying?
it's an interesting... Boy, don't
I'm
even
just,
get me started on
I'm,
where
I'm,
supervisors
I'm
live.
Just,
because
I'm, just
we've
saying, I'm just saying...
That's some
that
interesting people.
Is that, we've got two people battling it out with a lot of the same viewpoints, and we've got somebody that's got a different viewpoint. Nobody's running against him that I know of.
It's early in the race yet, and it's certainly hopeful. I'm of the opinion that
Patrick Jones used to move every other week.
This is the opportunity that we have to vet our board of supervisors every 4 years when they run for their office, and it's good to run against them. It's good to have them be held accountable for the decisions they've made and run an election. I really think that it's we get the kind of government we deserve, and if the people won't get involved enough to challenge some decisions that he's made, then we get what we deserve.
Okay. All right. So, Angie, you're the mental health part, even though a lot of that money is being controlled by the state, trying to have a place to house more prisoners, even though that's been voted down, doesn't mean that we have to stop on it. I like the idea of the business thing. Stillwater, which is a city project, do you think that there should be a way that the city and the county are working really hard about getting Stillwater filled up with business?
I think the city and the county need to be working hard to bring business, period. And, yes, Stillwater is one of those projects sitting out there with one new tenant, and that tenant is local. So, yes, we needed to be doing everything we can to attract businesses. I think the city and county need to work together in a lot of areas. There's a lot of issues between the two, and we need to break those obstacles down and do something about it. I'd like to go back and address some of the things that were said earlier about it being county versus city. First of all, I live here, so we all drive the streets of Redding and we drive the streets of Shasta County. I have been doing this stuff for a long time. I didn't do it because I wanted to be a politician, because that's really the last thing I wanted to be. I did it because I wanted to bring change, and that includes the city and it includes the county. So I will continue fighting for Redding regardless of the election, and I will continue fighting for the county. A lot of the things that we've talked about are definitely county. The Shasta County Planning Department and bringing jobs into the county. Whether it's the city or the county, we need the jobs. And so we have talked about, of course, mental health in the different areas, and those are definitely county. But the county oversees a lot of things, and they fly under the radar, and people need to just get involved and go in there and start letting their voices be heard, and I think that's important.
Would you support changing the time of the...
Absolutely.
...of the Board of Supervisors meeting?
Yes.
From 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning to at least once a month or once a quarter, having them in the evening.
Definitely, yes. I think to make it easy for the community, you're a community representative. You should be there to be able to hear the people, and the people should be able to get there without having to leave work.
What did you think about that, Trish?
I have mixed emotions about it. For number one, they have to look at the cost of all of the people that you're paying overtime to appear at that board meeting.
Most of them are on salary, aren't they?
No. Most people are not on salary, so it wouldn't make
sense. You mean like the...
Okay, the executive officer, but when you've got staff people and all the staff people in the clerk's office and all the people that it takes to put on that meeting. The other thing is, the reality is, unless you're spearing somebody right in the head, they don't come to meetings anyway. The city council meets at night. City of Anderson, City of Shasta Lake, they all meet in the evening. Unless there is an issue that is particularly controversial beyond your five or six people who attend every city council meeting, they don't go anyway. Certainly when there's an issue that impacts a person, a specific project, then I think those... And when I was on the board, we did do that. We quite often would schedule a meeting. Let's say when we had a big project up in Shingletown, many times we had meetings up in Shingletown. I think that's more appropriate. If you have an impact that really is hitting the city of Shasta Lake, then you convene a meeting there. To just redo the whole routine of the county to hold night meetings, I think you need to really look at the cost of that and how much benefit there really is to it.
I think you just said once a month, too. I mean, definitely opening
once a month or once, you know, once every 6 weeks that you do this because, you know, frankly, the Board of Supervisors gets complacent being doing the same thing. It needs to be shaken up some. That's why I'm glad elections are happening all the time. That's why people need to run against people, you know, to make people stand there and stand up and say what they believe in. But they also need, you know, I think something to go out and reach out and do that. I mean, like you said, you go out to Shingletown, but every so often you don't try it. And I'm not sure how many people that you have to hold it open. I think there's somebody keeping records. I look at the city council. City council isn't any smarter than the board of supervisors, are they?
Well, no, but the city.
I mean, can they figure things out better than the board?
No,
because
but
the board
I will tell
slow?
You that there are many more departments that are impacted in the county.
What?
Because Shasta County does exactly the same thing as every city does. And right. We have exactly those same departments.
Okay.
In addition to that, you have another 20 departments that cities don't deal with.
Okay.
And so you've got all of those issues that will come up on a consent calendar and or in the agenda for the week. And you have to have somebody there to answer a question if somebody wants to answer it. So you may have 35 things on the consent calendar, all from different departments. You need to have somebody there to answer a question if somebody asks it.
Okay.
County is a whole different ballgame.
Do it. We'll be right back after these messages. Yeah, Trish. So what? That's for the people. Sometimes you guys forget that.
The county supervisor, you get me started on this because I will tell you exactly what's different now.
You know what? I'd like to, except we're going to take a break. It is 14 minutes until 9 o'clock. Our guest is Angie Watson, who said, can I get a word in here? No. No, I'm sorry. This is our show, Angie. But anyway, we'll be right back. We got people on the lines. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, and Angie Watson running for county supervisor.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group and the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
Join the City of Reading as we turn off our outdoor irrigation. As our serious water crisis continues, the city is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet our mandate. Those recent rains we've been enjoying won't end the drought overnight, but they're enough to let you turn off your sprinklers for the year. The shorter days and cool nights mean you don't need to keep those sprinklers running. You'll save plenty of water and reduce your utility bill at the same time. Check out other water-saving tips at cityofreading.org. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dues until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train from anywhere.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Thursday, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. What's the weather look like for the rest of the week there, Trish?
48 degrees right now, going to get up to 52. We're supposed to have rain off and on throughout the weekend, and,
yeah,
and heavy today, a little lighter tomorrow, and on Saturday we're going to get some more rain, and Sunday a little lighter, and it's a warm storm. Not snow levels are pretty high. Weather brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Billy Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl, Trish. Good morning to you.
And we're here with Angie Watson, running for county supervisor.
Yes, I have a question concerning the most recent boondoggle of Shasta County's invite to business, where 3M Corporation was willing to do a quarry in her potential district up there. And they were going to spend up to $100 million in initial construction and employ over 60 to 80, I don't know. But it was going to be tens of millions of dollars into this county, and we've already run them out. They already turned their tail and headed somewhere else because of this attitude in this county. And all of the problems we have, as Angie was saying, it all stems from jobs, and I appreciate her go-ahead attitude. It's unfortunate that she's not running against Modi because he's a washout. And, we already lost this 3M Corporation, Moody Flats, and I don't know what we can do to change the mindset of this county, because otherwise we're going to have the homeless running the Board of Chambers or whatever. So anyway, talk to you later. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
What would be your
pitch
on that? A good point.
First of all, I'd like to bring up Shasta Lake, because we haven't had a chance to talk about Shasta Lake City a whole lot, and he just brought that up. I am from Shasta Lake City. That's where I was born and went to school. And what an opportunity there is there for one of the most beautiful places in the United States to make a difference. And so I met with the city manager last week, and one major issue is water in that area, which is amazing, but that is a major issue. But they are actively stepping up to try and get business. They have some things going on, and I think that's an area that needs to be focused on. That, look at what Anderson is doing. The same type of thing needs to be going on in Shasta Lake. It is so beautiful. We have so much opportunity there. The I-5 corridor, the resources, the lake. We could do so many things there. So let's start pushing that direction, and let's market it instead of just sitting back and seeing what happens. And if that's the one thing I could say why I'm here, because business as usual is not working, and we need to be active. It's not about just sitting there and what you vote at those meetings. It's about getting into the community, getting them involved, hearing what people want, and making it happen.
The community up there was very much opposed to the 3M Corporation thing. I'll play the devil's advocate here, because you have to put congregate plants, gravel plants, where the gravel is. It's not like you can locate them just any place. We've got a lot of gravel extraction history in Shasta County. And if you go back and look at the places where a lot of those plants were, when they're all done extracting it, they turn out really nice. And they're put back in great condition. What kind of a position would you have taken on 3M?
You know, when I told you I spoke with Mark on this project, and one thing I think that there is a lack of communication to the citizens. If there was a true understanding of the benefits, and let people be informed when they make these decisions, because a lot of times you're only hearing bits and pieces, or you're hearing rumors, or you're hearing what other people say, and there is such a lack of communication to the public to say, this is really the benefit, this is what's going on, this is how it's going to change. Give them everything
up front before you've made your decision,
and then let the decision be made. But my gosh, they have the right to hear every single bit of it, and let them do that and make their decision.
But here's something else too: this board of supervisors voted 5-0 for this. They voted 5-0 for the Churn Creek debacle. But there's a lot of money that companies spend out here, and to buy things like Churn Creek Bottom. And the money that they've already, that 3M did. At what point, and I'm talking to Larry Lee sitting right where you're sitting, said, at what point do people look at this and say, this is in my, these are five reasons I'm going to move to Shasta County, you know, to put a business in here. One, it's got good taxation for, you know, for my kind of business. I've got people I can employ. I can buy it here at a good price, you know, blah, blah. But when they see this, that the people in two different areas have voted totally against it, and the Board of Supervisors rolled one that took initiative, but the other one, the Board of Supervisors, didn't stand up for it. At that point, then it becomes a problem. Lee's agreed with this. So did Kurt Starman. You know, when it's not my backyard thing, that, you know, people stop looking after a while.
I agree with you, but I'd like to know how many have left because of dealing with the county was such a nightmare. And I know those numbers are big because I have worked with those developers, and they've left the area. They've went even to Anderson, but they've completely left the area also. The other thing is I've met with a lot of different businesses. I do job placement through IOT, so I'm also a college instructor, but something I did for a long time was job placement. And speaking with businesses from out of the area, we do not have the talent here that's needed for a lot of these industries. So they look at coming to this area and they look at hiring, and we don't have the education behind us to put the people into jobs. So we absolutely have to provide opportunity for our youth. And I go and I talk to the youth a lot. That's it. My passion is with the youth. So you go out there, and when they are telling you, hey, my plans are I'm 18 and I'm heading out of here. If our future is leaving or they're staying here in poverty, we have a problem. We have to get to our youth, provide opportunity, and change the future for them. Otherwise, we're in trouble, because if they all leave, what are we left with? There are things like that that have to be focused on. We don't have to wait for it to go to vote. We need to get out there and make it happen.
Well, that's what this one of the people was writing when you first came on, or maybe even earlier, was that Redding's population, there's more death notices than birth notices, and that this type of thing is, if we don't start bringing industry in here, then people are just going to eventually move away, and you're going to start losing your health care. When there are a lot of doctors right now that are, as we know, are leaving because of what's going on with Obamacare and California health care. So we've got to do something to bring them and keep them here. Otherwise, this turns into not a ghost town, but it'll be not a viable type of community that it is now. And it can
be
more.
We have to do a lot to overcome the fact that we're number one in the state of California, and a lot of the issues that the county faces, was brought up earlier, are mandated by the county or by the state and federal government. The counties are an arm of those branches, and we have to kind of do that. There are things that can be done.
There's no reason to give up. There's things that can happen.
Absolutely not, because it is a great place to live, and certainly there's opportunities, but it takes somebody to get out there and make it happen.
Yeah. Angie Watson, running for the 4th supervisor district position here.
Final thoughts?
Yeah, how do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website? You know, how do they host you for things, or
they can definitely
whatever.
Get it. So the best way to get in touch with me is Facebook, because I'm very active on there.
I can tell you that, because we've been trying to set this up for a month. That, so, and then what she'll write to me, and then I'll write back to her. But now I have your phone number.
That's right. You can track me down anytime, so that's not a problem. But on Facebook, you can also see my viewpoints because they are very clear on the Take Back Reading Shasta County page. And then Angie for Supervisor, and Angie is A-N-J-E. So if you type in Angie for Shasta County Supervisor, you will find me.
Okay. Can't be much clearer than that.
All right.
Well, we appreciate. You know what? I tell you what I appreciate is I know this would be easier not to run. I mean, it's easier not to run.
I completely agree with you.
And and because, I mean, you've got a family. You're trying to take care of that. And you know, your job and all these things. I appreciate the fact that you're running.
Thank you very much.
I really do. And this is why we don't endorse people here at the station for the city and county is because I appreciate. I may not agree with them, but I appreciate the fact that they think enough of the community to run for office.
And that's exactly it. Turning around our situation from this local level right up to the state and the federal government is going to start right here in our community, one position at a time.
That's right. And there's, you know, in whatever the state of Jefferson wants and the representation, I think that we're so woefully underrepresented.
And the only way we change that is for the people to get involved.
Yeah, the people have got to get involved. And that's what you've done because you saw there needs to be a change. Good. Good on you, Angie.
Thank you.
All right. Tomorrow, I think Congressman Lamoff is going to be on with us. I'm not sure. I think he is. It's the first Friday of the month. He usually shows up here. Got a lot of questions to ask him about what's going on in Syria and all this other crazy stuff that's going on around the nation here. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the San Bernardino, to the victims down there in San Bernardino. It's horrible what happened there yesterday, and I feel for them. And I hope that it leads us to finding out how we can help prevent some of these things. So good guys against the bad guys. What's your year?
Won't be turned around. And I'll keep
breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Seems that everyone is talking about it.
Yesterday, a tragedy occurred in San Bernardino.
The tragedy President Obama is talking about, of course, yesterday's massacre.
After meeting with top law enforcement officials in the Oval Office, the president said they're still trying to determine a motive.
It is possible that this was terrorist-related, but we don't know. It's also possible that this was workplace related.
He said the matter is now an FBI-led investigation, and he assured Americans that authorities will get to the bottom of what happened. Greg Clugston, the White House.
House Speaker Paul Ryan calls the attack a horrible event, telling CBS this morning it's the kind of thing that cries out for action.
What we have seen in a common theme among many of these mass shootings is a theme of mental illness. And we need to fix our mental illness laws, our policies. They're outdated.
The president.